We're at the Governor's Ag Conference in Kearney, Nebraska today. We just listened to a panel discussion on international trade. One of the panelists was Jerry Wiggs, who is a Senior Director in Export Sales and Marketing with Greater Omaha Packing Company, based in Omaha, of course. And Jerry, talk about the growing demand for beef worldwide. And you said you market into 70 countries around the world. So where are the hot spots right now?
Well, thank you, Ken. I would say, you know, some of the hot spots that we're at today are obviously the easy ones are Mexico and Canada. You know, we have the NAFTA free trade agreement, so that makes it very easy to export beef into both of those countries. But I would say one of the most growing areas would be for us the Middle East. We just did a promotion with the embassy in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, where we had beef from the state of Nebraska, from Greater Omaha, at the event, and it was the kickoff because, you know, the beef into Saudi Arabia, it's been legal to ship there for a while, but they put up some regulations that a lot of the packers aren't willing to jump through some of these hoops, where Greater Omaha, you know, we're willing to do what, you know, a lot of times what a major beef packer may not be willing to do. We're a smaller operation, 2,250 head, 2,300 head a day. And, you know, we're privately owned. So we don't have to go to a board or and say, hey, what do you think of this idea? I go to my vice president and say, hey, we're thinking about doing selling beef into Saudi, you know. So I would say Saudi Arabia is big. European Union is big. Right now, Japan and Korea also huge, huge markets for us.
We were at your plant last summer when you made the first shipment of beef to China under the new agreement there. Wondering how that market is going for you so far.
I would say very good. You know, like any new market, it has its challenges. However, you know, if I do a comparison of where I was in the first 8 months, say, in shipping beef to Europe, compared to where we are 8 months into shipping beef to China, we are probably 1,000% more shipping into China than what we were into the European Union. The regulations are very similar, so that's a nice bonus for us. Actually, I think you might have heard me mention that, you know, a lot of the beef that we ship to Europe also would qualify for China. So we're able to, when we buy these cattle, we can now choose which cattle are going to, say, China, which cattle are going to Europe. And not only that, we're also able to choose which parts of that animal. Say, for example, the short plate. The short plate is not a big item in Europe, but it's a very big item in China. So we're able to utilize the carcass in a better manner and therefore maximize our margins by being able to ship to both countries the same carcass.
And so, you know, we've had everybody say great potential there, of course, with all the people and the growing middle class. So you see that as well?
Yeah, I've been to China now 3 times in the last 6 months, and it is amazing the growth that's going over there. You know, a lot of people, when they think China, they automatically think Beijing or they think Shanghai. But then there's also these cities that people don't, you know, come to their mind right away. Guangzhou, for example. You know, that's a huge, millions and millions of people in Guangzhou. But then there's also all of these secondary cities where they're 10 million people, 15 million people, 12 million people. And so, you know, for Greater Omaha, that's an awesome opportunity because, like I said earlier, we're more of a niche company. We only harvest high-end British-influenced animals. So we're always looking for that niche, whatever country we're into. Because typically when you go into a country, the first thing that you're going to go after are the food service industry, the restaurants, the hotels, and that sort of thing. And then eventually you're going to get into the supermarkets. And then from there, you know, the business can grow from there.
You mentioned Mexico and Canada, really important markets for you, and NAFTA. So what are you hoping comes out of these renegotiation of NAFTA?
NAFTA is, you know, if you think of the word NAFTA, it stands for North American Free Trade Agreement, and that's exactly what we have. There is no tariff for us when we go into Mexico. There is no tariff when we go into Canada. And so when you think, you know, what, how can we improve on that, it's hard to think of how we could improve for the beef industry. I know there's other parts of NAFTA that I'm probably not as well versed in, but one of the things that I've heard about NAFTA in, for example, Mexico, where they do assemble a lot of vehicles and cars. And one of the deals, part of the deal that I believe President Trump is looking to do is to guarantee that the auto parts coming into Mexico are from North America, U.S., Canada, which would be a great thing for the North American Free Trade Agreement. Instead of these parts coming in from Japan or, say, for example, from Korea, that we increase the factories and so forth in the production of vehicle parts in our countries. Now, of course, the problem is a lot of times when the media gets a hold of a story like that, depending on how they want to, you know, perhaps turn that, of course, now the president of Mexico, who's up for re-election, is nervous. Why? Because the media is saying, oh, President Trump wants to totally throw out NAFTA, which is not true. We want to make it better for some aspects. Maybe not the beef part, but maybe, for example, the automobile industry.
I'm curious, you know, on the with corn, mm-hmm. Mexico apparently is looking at South America and saying, well, you know, we can buy more product there, even though there's some infrastructure challenges. Are you hearing that from your customers on the beef side?
You know, I would say not so much in the beef industry. Although we are in stiff competition with Uruguay, for example, with Brazil around the world. Chile, another South American country, they are, but you have to remember, you know, other than Brazil, you know, the United States, we have a lot of cattle, and so we do have a lot of beef available, and the Mexicans have acquired a taste for U.S. beef. Now, one thing I have heard is poultry, for example. I have a good friend in Texas that sells into Mexico my beef as well as poultry. And he has heard a lot of the poultry is starting to turn around and come out of South America. So I think different proteins have different challenges, obviously.